Father God, Lord, we pray that your Spirit will be upon us this evening. Father, we pray, God, that you'll fill Brother Philip's heart and his head, Father, with your knowledge. We pray, God, that you'll teach us new and deeper things of your word. We pray in Jesus' holy name.
You want to say anything about what you've learned in these classes over the last 20 years?
There's endless things. I came 20 years ago, it was 20 years ago. We were having a classroom in the little schoolhouse across the street house. Yes. And I prayed that God would bring someone into my life that would teach me. And that day, God brought Jim Phillips and came to that class. And that was underneath Tracy Strong's teaching.
Yes.
And there's just so much depth in what you can do into the word by word of the Hebrew and the Greek. You just can't get it anywhere else. So that was great.
Were you a missionary back then?
No, I was a student.
Did you ever think you'd go witness to thousands of people in other countries?
No, I wasn't even thinking.
But you've been to a couple, haven't you?
Yes.
How many mission trips? 20?
23.
23 trips.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Well, I remember when I would be teaching sometimes 4 and 5 Sunday school classes in a row on Sunday morning. They would have me come and do guest speakers one after another. And Lee would get a speaking appointment one over another, and then he would say, Brother Jim, go with me. If I chicken out the last minute, I want you to get up. And you know what? I got up. He said, you just think what you taught in the last class again. You remember that, Brother Lee? But he can get up and do it now. He can get up and preach in some other language and lead those people to the Lord. They say that his sermons are the most simple sermons that people understand. They understand them. Jonah is a tremendous book. Jonah is a book of predestination and foreordination and the sovereignty of God like no other book. It is a book of rebellion. A book of rebellion. A book that... we got some new students here. A book that talks about rebellious children of God. The book of Jonah. Welcome to the class. Jonah. A book of the sovereignty of God, foreordination, election, predestination. God, we looked at last week and we find that God called out Abraham and elected Abraham to be the father of his nation. And all of us can trace our lineage back to Abraham. Israel was foreordained and elected. Joppa, the little city called what? Joppa is called what? This is the test. Last week.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Joppa. Joppa was foreordained and led and elected. How about Nineveh? What does Nineveh mean? What does Nineveh mean? I want girls and boys. Nineveh. That means house of the fish gods, basically. House of the fish gods. All right. And with Jonah, what does Jonah mean? All right. Dove. Okay, dove. And so we see all of these things. God elected a ship captain. God elected a ship. God elected Tarshish to be the mistress of the sea at that time, building all the ships so they could have this ship to go to Joppa in the Mediterranean there. We have the whole crew that was elected. We have a star that was elected. We have a fish or a dragon that was elected. We have a castor bean tree that was elected. And we have a worm that was elected. And we got Jonah that was elected. All right? And Jonah's ministry covers from about somewhere between 753 and 793 B.C. And it's quite a story. Like I said, a story of election and a story of rebellion. Election and rebellion. We see that. Now, a lot of this class is going out and reaching people that we haven't reached before, because this is a kind of a new series and we're parenthetically putting in Exodus. One of the best interlinears and the best printings of the Hebrew text that I've ever seen is by Green. And there's a three-volume set, that, or it's four-volume now, isn't it, Brother Roger?
Yes.
Four volumes now. But it, the printing is pretty good. And it's, you can see it here. I did this years and years and years ago when I was in seminary. I wrote all over this thing. You can see that the Hebrew text is good. It's much better. Hebrew printing is poor. And I'm going to put this up on the camera so these people out there can see it also. All right. This is by Green. And it's a pretty good text. Now, when you... I have many Hebrew grammars. Biblical Hebrew is different than modern Hebrew. It is not in the same world. I'm going to tell you that right now. It just isn't. Kyle M. Yates is a Biblical Hebrew. These scholars go back 1,000 years, or more than 1,000 years on Biblical Hebrew. When the Jews started using their language in the early 1800s, the late 1800s, early 1900s, they had to go back to these scholars, but they didn't listen enough. They should have learned how to translate their Bible a little better. It's, they go to the Babylonian idea of everything's a Babylonian Talmud. Now, we're going to bring things out of Kyle M. Yates. Now, there are two books that you absolutely need if you're going to study any Hebrew. I'm not teaching Hebrew, so to speak. You get Hebrew secondarily from my classes. I'm teaching you the Bible, but you get Hebrew. Now, this is a book, if you're going to study Hebrew, that you absolutely need. This book is Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Francis Brown, S.R. Driver, and C.A. Briggs. All of my work is cross-referenced to the page numbers in this book. A lot of people go to go Strong's is for the weak. That's all I can say. Strong's for the weak. This is Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay. This is a Hebrew lexicon. Okay. And Hebrew lexicons are usually very large. I'll put this up here on the so they can see this. Hebrew lexicons are very large. What's the difference between an analytical Hebrew lexicon and a Hebrew lexicon? Who knows? What's the difference between an analytical Hebrew lexicon and a lexicon? Now this one here is David. It's falling apart. I've had that since 1970-something. This one takes every word in the Hebrew Bible and it declines and conjugates it and tell you what part of speech it is and everything else. This one is by Davidson. Benjamin Davidson. He was a Hebrew scholar. And when I say Hebrew scholar, I mean Hebrew scholars. If people would study, if they required 6 years of Hebrew and 6 years of Greek before they could go into the ministry today, we'd have a lot less heresy on the streets. That's all I'm saying. But, because it straightens out your heresy and inoculates it from it. Now, when you study, like when we're studying the book of Jonah, how many Hebrew tenses are there? How many root stems? How many Hebrew verb stems are there? How many Hebrew verb stems?
Seven.
Seven Hebrew verb stems. All right, let's go over them real quick. Just quickly. We've done this before. But like I said, here is the book. Tell you a little bit about it. You can see it in here. This one here is Kyle M. Yates, Essentials of Biblical Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew. We're talking about, we're looking at the word katal, which means to kill. Calstem is simple active voice. All right, he killed. The simple passive is nephal, he was killed. Number three is the PL stem. PL stem, when you see PL, you see violence. Okay, in the PL stem, Cain killed Abel. Okay. The intensive active is PL. He was killed, or he killed brutally. He murdered brutally. And the fourth is intensive passive. That is Pu'el stem. And he was killed brutally. And then Hithael is the intensive reflexive. He brutally killed himself. And then the Hithael, causative active, is he was caused to kill, or he caused to kill. The Hophel stem is a causative passive. He was caused to kill. Now, there are two other little verb forms that we need to think about. And one of them is cohortive and
juicy.
Cohortive and juicy. And that is the person acting is doing it in the middle voice or for himself. It's volition that comes from within him. We see that in the Greek is in the subjunctive mode in the middle voice. Okay? Now let's go back to the book of Jonah. We got a little bit of introduction to Hebrew, a slight amount. Okay? And Brother Roger is helping with the Hebrew since my hands are broken down and wore out from writing. He's doing the text for me, and so I go into the translations and all of the grammar. This is what it looks like. I will try to get this printed for you sooner or later. All right? I used to write the Greek and the Hebrew in red, and then do all the other stuff in different colors. But you can see this on the screen. We'll try to do this page. Or this little book. We'll go back to the book of Exodus. We lay Shemot. Exodus means what? What does Exodus mean?
Get out of
the way out. Exodus, exit. Like Exodus means way out. But that's not what it is in Hebrew. Where does the name Exodus come from?
Greek.
It came from the Greek Septuagint, not from the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible, Exodus, is we lay Shemot. What does that mean? And these names. All right. The name of the sons of Jacob. All right. Now let's go here between 793 and 753 B.C. Back to the time of Jonah. Jonah, the reluctant prophet. The reluctant prophet and the rebellious prophet. And I'm going to read down through here for you. Jonah, the book of Jonah. Wahi devar ha devar el Jonah. Ben Amete Lamor. Alright? And Jonah, he became the word of Jehovah. Look at that word devar there. In Jonah 1 and 1. The word devar means word. Okay? What is the equivalent in Greek? Logos. Okay. And then we have the word Hadavar, which is the name Jehovah, which they did not speak. And when John wrote the name Logos in the New Testament, it was a Hebraism. So he's talking about who? Jehovah of the Old Testament. That's Jehovah. Okay? And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, son of Amitti. What does Amitti mean? Remember what that one means? Amitti. Huh? Who said that?
Truthful.
Truthful. Thank you very much. You got an A+ for that. Truthful. To speak. He wanted him to speak. Alright? Now, verse number 2. Kum lek el Nineveh ha'er ha'gidola yukera aliha ki alitha riafam lefane. It says, arise and you go walk unto Nineveh, the city, the great, and cry out against her because she has come up. Her evils, her craftiness, her shrewdness, her wickedness, her nakedness, her calamity unto my face. This has come up to my face. Now, God even elected Nineveh, didn't he? What's he going to do with Nineveh in the end? He's going to use Nineveh to chastise Israel. All right. What other contributions did Nineveh do to mankind? What contributions? What?
Locks and keys?
Yes, they invented locks and keys. Locks and keys. So Nineveh is the ones that built locks and keys that you use on your car and on your house. What else did they do? They invented plumbing. They invented somewhat hygiene. They invented canal systems and aqueducts for what we call irrigated farming. They invented banking. They invented countries were ruled by one ruler over a large period of time, and Nineveh, they broke it down into districts. They would have a sub-king or sub-prince underneath, and they would be responsible for one kid.
When you say hygiene, I thought back in the Old Testament that God more or less blessed the Jews with a certain way of cleanliness and so forth.
Yeah, but they, see, you have to realize that most people, God installed that in hygiene, yes. And that was good, and even in war or whatever, you know, God did that, but the rest of the world, you know, Nineveh had a great effect on the rest of the world. Okay, the Jews, everybody just kind of, you know, the Jews felt like they were special, and they didn't, there was nobody else that worthy to be in their presence. All right? But the Ninevites contributed a lot to humanity that we have today. Flush toilets, plumbing, all of these things were things that God would use. They also invented crucifixion. Alright, they also invented crucifixion. And I have to go, since we have no students here, and the rest of you, please don't be too bored. When the Ninevites invented crucifixion, it was impaling. It wasn't really crucifixion, but it became crucifixion. And the word in the Greek is stauros, which means stake. And the Jehovah Witnesses, they say, oh well, Jesus wasn't crucified on a cross, he was crucified on a stake. The word staros goes all the way back to Nineveh. They took a person, and you know, in the book of Esther, you know, they were going to crucify Mordecai, weren't they? As they were going to hang him, it was, they were going to crucify him, is what they're going to do to him. They built a platform 70 feet in the air, and they put this stake on top of it, and they smoothed it out real good, and they greased this stake. And they would take a person and set him on top of it. And it would go up through his body slowly and rupture all of his organs. And he would slowly die within sometimes hours, maybe a day. Well, the Romans came along and they borrowed this because this is a real good way of capital punishment to keep people in line. So they put a man and they didn't put the stake in him, but they nailed him to the stake. Like that. His hands here, feet here. They found out that he would live, die too quick. So they put him on another cross like this, and they found out that he died that way because they died of suffocation. So they decided, in the end, they were going to make a cross like this and like this. Nail a hand here, nail a hand here, put a seat here, put a foot here, nail, put the nail the feet together like this, and they could put a sign up here like Jesus had. That one. These are the cow crosses. And this person could live a week. I think one person in history lived 3 weeks on the cross after he was crucified. That's real good. That's a determined to crime and rebellion, see. That's what they want. All right, let's go on a little further. See, the Ninevites invented all these things. And let's go on down. We will we'll find out that that Jonah, let's read that quickly. Let me read this up to where we are today because some of you haven't been here. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against her, for wickedness has come up before my face. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Now Nineveh was about a 605 to 600 mile walk from Jerusalem. And where did Jonah live? Where did Jonah live? This is a town.
Throughout Galilee.
He lived in Galilee near Nazareth. Okay, where Jesus was. When the Jews says, did any prophet ever come out of Galilee? Jonah, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, came out of Galilee, nearly in the same city where Jesus was raised. Okay. Now, Nineveh means house of the fish god, basically, or dwelling of the fish god. And Tarshish, what does Tarshish do? Now, he's going to flee to Tarshish. Now, Nineveh is about 500, 600 miles north of Jerusalem. How far is Tarshish? Tarshish is Spain. That's 2,500 plus miles. The wrong direction. He's leaving. He's running from God. Okay? Running from his past. So he was going to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know that you can't flee from the presence of the Lord. You can go back and look at that many, many places in the Old Testament and the Psalms and everything. You can't flee. Where are you going to flee from the presence of the Lord? When you've been elected to do a job, it's done. The election of God is irrevocable. It's done. From the presence of the Lord. So we went down to Joppa. Joppa means beautiful. This is the place where the ships would come in and they go from there. God elected that place to be there when Jonah needed it. All right. And he found the ship which was going to Tarshish and paid the wages and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4. And the Lord hurled a great wind. Now the Lord elected this wind. Now this is another test from last week. What was the supernatural God of storms in the ocean? What was it called? What was this God called? Brother Roger?
Leviathan.
Alright. Leviathan is what this supernatural God was. And that was a God that basically made all the storms out the ocean and squished his big tail and his body around and made the storms and the waves go and everything. And it was supernatural. And according to the book of Job, of course, we find that the devil and the powers of Satan are in storms and terrible weather that kill people and everything. You know, like people trying to blame it on God. An act of God is an act of Satan. Okay, that's who it is. So this great Leviathan, there was one that dwelled at Galilee, which was a gate to the eternal regions or infernal regions. The gates of hell were looked at and thought of as the Sea of Galilee. And when a storm hit out there on the Sea of Galilee, they said the great Leviathan that guarded the gates of hell was stirring up this demonic creature. When Moses and Aaron went into Egypt, they took that rod of God with them and they threw it down on the floor in the palace of Pharaoh, and it became a Leviathan, a great dragon. Tanin is the word. And then, of course, when Janus and Jambres threw their rods down, they became Leviathans, also great dragons, too. So now we've got a storm out here in the ocean. Everybody's afraid and scared to death. And there became a great storm on the sea that the ship was about to break up in pieces. The ship itself, it says, is voluntarily going to break up because of the great storm. Then the sailors began to be afraid, and every man cried to his own personal little heppling, his own little god. And they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below in the hold of the ship, and he had fallen deep asleep. And verse number 7 says, so the captain approached him, the captain of the ship. Now remember, this captain's like this. We're going to find out that the whole ship is going to be saved. Everybody's going to be saved because of Jonah. Jonah affected many people's lives. A lot of people got saved because of Jonah. The whole crew, the ship, everybody's going to get saved. Okay? And the captain approached him and said, how is it that you are dead asleep? Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us. Remember, he will remember us. You will keep us in his thoughts, is what it says in Hebrew, so that we will not be destroyed. Verse number 7. And each man said to his fellow, his mate, his friend, come, let us cast lots, so that we may learn on whose account this calamity, this evil, this nakedness, this wickedness, that's all in this word right here. This is how the snake in the Garden of Eden, the snake became wicked. The snake wasn't created wicked. He became wicked. Okay? So they cast lots, and the lot kept on falling upon Jonah. God was showing them through their rolling of the dice or the lots that Jonah was a man. He was speaking to each one of the hearts. And they said to him, tell us now, on whom account has the calamity struck us? And what is your occupation? Are you a bank robber? Are you a thief? Are you a killer? Are you an assassin? What are you? Why are we in so much trouble? And where do you come from? And what is your fatherland? From what people do you originate? All right. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. Hebrew. What does Hebrew mean?
people across the river?
From beyond the river. That's what Hebrew means. People from the other side. From beyond the river. All right? But I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah Elohim. I fear the Lord God of heaven. The one made the heavens, and the one made the dry land and seas. I fear him. Verse number 10. Now let's go back to Hebrew. We're far enough over here that we look, start looking at Hebrew again. Verse number 10. Why Yirim? Hanashim. Yirah. Gedolah. Wayomaru. Ilah. Ba. Do. Asita. Ki. Yadiru. Ha'anashim. Ki. Melephani, Hadabar, Hu, Variah, Ki, Higed, Lehem. And they were continually afraid. Third person masculine plural, Kal, Wal, consecutive, and perfect in Hebrew. Third person masculine plural, Kal, stem. Well, consecutive and perfect, what does that tell you? This is a continuous action, but it did happen, but it's continuous. It's like punctiliar, but it's historically. It's done, but it's there. The men, the Hana Ashim. Now, this word for mankind here, Anashim, is plural, of course. It means humans. Humans. Mankind. Anthropos in Greek. Anthropos in Greek. Humankind, humanity. These were humanity. By the way, this word came from Aramaic. It came from the Aramaic and the Arabic language. Okay? And then the word Yirah. Yirah is a little adjective here on page 431 or 432, which you'll have one of these days. And that means to be terrified. To be terrified. Gedolah. Gedolah. What's a Gedolah? Gedolah means great. Much. Mucho. Yeah. All right? Grande. Great. Much. Wayomaru. And they said, and they kept on saying, third person, masculine, plural, cow, well, consecutive, and perfect. Page 55, and Brown Driver Briggs, and page 65, and Kohler and Bumgarner. That's a great big two-piece Hebrew lexicon. Okay? To him, what? Mock. Say mock. What? This? Those? This? Well, that little demonstrative pronoun. They. Okay. What this? Hasita. You have done. Second person masculine singular. Cal perfect. What have you done? What have you done in the past that's causing gods, these gods, to be so angry with us? What have you done? Because they have known. Third person construct plural. Cal perfect. They have known. Who told them? They have known. Who told them? Their gods had told them. Actually, Jehovah had told them through their little... God is telling on Jehovah. He's telling on the rebellious prophet. And then Ha'anashim, the men, the mankind. All right? That, from the face of Jehovah, they knew the name of Jehovah, see? Ha'davar. Now, we don't have to say that name at all, period. You can't say it. We've looked at that before. You put the name Jesus on the board, you take all of the vowels out of it, you can't not explain it. You take Jehovah on board. And you take all the vowels out of it. And even the J. Now, just say that one. That's pretty impossible. Isn't it? You can't do it. Jesus. You end up with nothing but SS. That's all. That's like trying to say the name of God. You can't do it. They were afraid to anyway. The Lord, when the Lord gave the law through Moses, it says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, and they were terrified of using his name, his personal name. But they said his name here. Now they are convinced that Jehovah, his God, is the God of heaven. Already they're convinced. God is really working miracles through this revival, isn't he? And the men, because from the face of Jehovah he was fleeing. Alright, Massian, Senior, Calpartis, he was fleeing because he had told to them. Alright? The Lord had told to them, and Jonah had told to them also. He's fessing up now. Verse number 11, this is where we finished off last week. Wayomaru, Elah, Ba, Naaseh, Zlak, Wayishtak, Hayam, Mi'alinu, Ki, Hayam, Holek, Mi'soor. Are you looking at the Hebrew Bible, anybody? You got your Hebrew Bible there, young lady?
Mine's just
a
New Testament.
Oh, okay. All right. And they said, they kept on saying to him, Ma, but mommy, what? What shall we keep on doing? It's first person construct rule, cal and perfect. What shall we keep on doing to you? That he may for himself become. All right. That he may for himself become, and they're talking about this great Leviathan, the sea. They know that the sea god is upset. Okay? And this one is third person masculine, senior, cal, juicy, but meaning. Juicy means what? Volitational. Volitational mode. That he may for himself become quiet, the sea, from upon us, mi'alinu, from upon us. Meh, man there, and all. And Inu, that he may lay off of us. He may take the waves from upon us. Literally is what it says. And then keep, we have this little word which means because. The seed, the Hayam, he kept on walking. The seed kept on walking. That's what the Hebrew term is. The seed kept on walking. Now if the sea is out there, it's as quiet like glass, it's not walking. But when the waves and the big swells are going, that's when the sea is walking. The sea is walking. So the key, sea keeps on walking. It's halek. And it comes from halek. Here's the word right here. That's what it comes from right there. The sea kept on walking. Alright? The sea kept on walking and being stormy, tempestuous. Masculine, senior, cow, powder, simple. Powder, simple means on them, continuing thing. Verse number 12. Wayomer. Alihim. Sani. Wahatelinu. Nani. El. Hayam. Wayishtak. Hayam. Mi alikim. Ki yodia. Ani. Ki Veshili Hasa'ar Hagadol Hazeh Alekim Wayomer. And he said, and kept on, continues to say, Alekim is to them, lift me up, lift me up, and hurl me, Wahatilinu, and hurl me El Hayam, into the waters. Hurl me into the waters. That's a command. Wayishtak. And he will be calmed for himself. Look at this one again now. He will be calmed. This is what's going to be calmed for himself. It is third person masculine, singular, cal, juicy, but meaning. Alright? 1066 in Brown Grammar and Briggs. He shall be calmed for himself to see from upon you, because knowing I. Because in whom the storm great, the this upon you. I'm the reason that this storm is great upon you. I am the reason. Verse number 13 now. Wayat Tiru. Hanashim. Lihashiv. El. Hayaba Basha. Wilo. Yakalu. Ki Hayam Holek Wisoer Alehem. But they rowed and they dug. The word rowing means to dig. When you're rowing with a row, you're digging water. you're digging water. And that's what the Hebrews said, you're digging. And they rowed and they dug. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wild, consecutive, and perfect. They rowed and they dug, the men, to bring back, lihashiv, to bring back unto the dry land. That Hayabasha. We low, we is what? Is Bob in modern Hebrew. We is what?
Conjunction.
That's a conjunction. Page 253, it means and. And not. And not. They had been able to. Third person, construct, plural, cow, perfect. They couldn't roll fast enough because the sea kept walking and walking them out further into the ocean. They didn't want to throw this man out there because they're afraid, because they know this man is a prophet of God and they're in trouble because of this man, but they're afraid to touch him. Abraham went down in there in Egypt, you know, went over there to Abimelech. Abimelech means what? Abimelech.
Son of the, father of the king.
Father of the king. He went up to Abimelech and he sold his wife to him, Sarah to him. And then Sarah, the Lord said to him, that's my prophet. He is a liar and a cheat and a thief, but you, he will pray for you if you listen to me. Otherwise, I won't kill you. The lion prophet. Here we have a rebellious prophet. We have a lion prophet in Abraham. Now we got a rebellious prophet. The prophets of God are rascals just like everybody else. We're a damn. Okay? We're scoundrels. Everybody's a scoundrel. We have related to Adam. And they, not that they had been able. What is the word there in Greek? What would this word able here mean in Greek? You call in Hebrew. Dynamis. Dynamis, that's where we get our dynamite from. Not they were powerful enough. The sea kept on walking and being stormy against them. Alright, number 14. Number 14. Wayikru. Ha or El Hadabar. Wayomeru. Ana. Hadabar. All. Na. Na Veda. Beni Pesh. Haish. Hazeh. We all. Titan. Alinu. Dom. Naki. Ki. Ata. Hadabar. Kaeshur. Cha. Fashta. Asita. And they cried out, and they kept on crying out unto Jehovah. They're crying out to the God of heaven. They're not talking about their little gods anymore, not the little Kethlin. They're not doing this anymore. Now they're calling upon the God of heaven, because now they have become believers. Okay? Unto Jehovah. And they said, third person, masculine, plural, cow, well, consecutive, verb, imperfect. They said, and they kept on saying, Ana, oh, now, Jehovah. Not, El there is not. El means a preposition sometimes, but here it's an adverbic negation. Page 39, both of them. Okay. Na. What's Na mean? Na. Please. It's a particle of entreaty. Na, a little particle of entreaty, page up on 609 in that book. Okay. A little particle of entreaty. Please. Not. Let us perish. First person, construct, plural. Cal cohortive. They have volition. Every time you talk about salvation, there's volition involved. God provides salvation, but there's a certain amount of personal volition in everything in the Old Testament and Hekinaneatheke in the New Testament also. Alright, don't let us perish for ourselves. It's not our fault. We don't want to perish. We want to believe in you, Jehovah. Don't let perish our souls, our nephesh. Nephesh is soul. Man is body, spirit, and soul, isn't he? He's triune like God is triune. That's no good. Body, spirit, and soul. And the word soul there, that's what it's talking about. Nephesh. When God created all things, every living creature has a soul. We're going to learn a lot about theology in here that's left out of so many pulpits. Animals have souls. It's is that shocking? That's shocking. Animals have souls. Animals have souls. They're individuals and lives. They have souls. Okay. Many people just look over this. Hebrew just jumps out and beats you up. Pay attention. We're going to see this a little bit later in this book now. Okay. And they cried out unto Jehovah and they said, now, Jehovah, please don't let us perish. On our part, we don't want to perish. We want to believe. Not our souls. And the man, the this, like ha-ish. Ish means what?
Mankind.
What's isha?
Out
of man, which means a woman. This man, it's his fault. Ha-day, the this. The this man is his fault. And not you give for yourselves. All right? Look at this. This comes from Tani here, or Natan, that is, Natan. And it's second person maxim, senior, Cal, Jews, even me. What's volition is involved in this? We got volition of God and we got volition of man involved here. Right? Then all he knew upon us, basically, dom. Look at the word dom. Dom. Dom means what? Blood. Ha adam. Adam means what? Adam. 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 Adam means mankind, but it also means blood. The root of Adam is blood. Ha adamah. Ha adamah. What is that? That's earth. That's earth. And the root of that is blood. And the one of the basic, what is the most outstanding basis of your blood in your body?
Huh? It's red.
It's red, but actually it's blue.
Oh, well, yeah.
Blue, and blood is actually blue, but when it is exposed to oxygen, it becomes red. And the word dom also means red, and it means blood. And we find that man and blood and the earth are all related. They all have a lot of iron content in them, don't they? When somebody bleeds, I can smell it. I can smell an animal when it's bleeding because I smell the iron. How many of you ever eaten food out of a cast iron skillet? And if you leave the food in the skillet too long after you cook it, it tastes like iron. It tastes like blood. Iron. Okay. All right. We don't want his innocent blood upon us. Upon us the blood innocent, because you, Jehovah, just as you have delighted, you have delighted, you have done. God, you have done as you please. You have done as you please. Cindy, do you have the Amplified Bible tonight with you?
You do?
All right. We'll read that in a few moments. Verse number 15 now. Why Yesu et Yonah. Why tilenu li? Let me do this again. Why tiluhu? El hayam. Why yaamod? Hayam mizapo. And they lifted up, and they kept on lifting up Jonah. And they threw him. Third person masculine plural, hithel, while consecutive and perfect. Suffix third person masculine singular, all of us in that word. Why tell you? Into the sea. Now here, el is a preposition. Page 39 still. Ha, the definite article, yam, hayam. Into the sea. And the sea, he stood still. Instantly. When they threw Jonah into the sea stood still. Isn't that beautiful? They had the right prescription. Jonah was a problem. All right. He was the antidote. And the sea, he stood still from his storming and raging. All right, number 16. One in verse 16 now. Why Yeru, Ha'anashim, Yirah, Yidolah, Ha'et, Hadabar, Wa'iz Bihu, Ziva, Li Hadabar, Wa'yeduru, Nadori. And they kept on fearing the men. What does the Bible say? The fear is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge. These people, that this was the beginning of all knowledge. They feared God. They feared Jehovah. And they kept on fearing. Third person, masculine, plural. Cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. The men. The mankind. The humans. The fear. A godly fear. Great. Et in Hebrew is what? Et in Hebrew? What is that?
The soda.
It's the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Yes. All right? And it means the sign of the direct object. Power's coming. Something's coming there. Barashit, bara, elegant, et, hashemayim. We et haaretz. Power is coming. All right? That's the direction. What is the Greek equivalent of?
Ace.
What's the Greek figure of speech? What is the Greek grammatical rule? And bring this over to Hebrew. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. You won't understand that first time you hear it. Might not understand it the tenth. Might not understand it the tenth time you hear it. But one time or another, you're going to start clicking. In Acts 2:38, it says that you're baptized for the remission of sins in King James. But in the original language, you're baptized because of the remission of sins. Ace is involved in that word, and it's going backwards. Forward or backwards. Remember that. And they feared the men, great, et, Jehovah. They feared Him. They feared Jehovah. And in the New Testament, that's Ho Logos. John 1:1 says, in beginning kept on being Ho Logos, the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. John 1:14 says, Kai Ho Logos Arxaganato. And the Word, the Jehovah, flesh He became and dwelled among us. That's the one they're fearing right here. He's the promised Messiah to come. They feared great Jehovah. And they slaughtered. And they slaughtered. When God saves you, He gets your pocketbook. It goes along with that. When God saves you, He gets your appetite. When God saves you, He changes your life. He affects everything about you. And that's what He did here. Now they're saved. And the first thing they're going to do, when they wanted to worship God, they were going to sacrifice something. I remember when I first started going to church, didn't know anything. I went to a church that didn't teach the Bible at all. Period. Zero. But I got a Bible. I started reading that Bible from Genesis. You know, you begin at the beginning. That's what you normally do with books. Boy, I was in trouble deluxe. I didn't see any hope and redemption for me whatsoever. I thought about sacrificing my dog or my chicken or something to get relief from the Lord. Well, sacrifices typified one thing, and that was Jesus. I got over there in the New Testament, but, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John got real good. And the men they feared, and they slaughtered, third person, masculine, plural, cow, wild, consecutive, and perfect. And they slaughtered a slaughtering. That's what it is. It says sacrifice, but they slaughtered a slaughtering. They slaughtered something that was going to make money with. It cost them money to worship God. They slaughtered unto Jehovah, and they vowed and kept on vowing vows to Him. Now they're believers. So now, God elected Jonah to preach to Nineveh. He takes off and goes 2,500 miles the other direction. He gets a hold of this sea captain and this crew, and because he jumps and hijacks and gets on that boat, and he pays his fare, his wages, that's what it does, the bench those for wages. He pays his wages to ride on that boat. But God saves all of those people. And Jonah, the rebellious prophet, the unwilling prophet, that God elected to preach the Nineveh, God kills him. God's going to kill him. So he uses these people to kill him. That's right. He killed him. Jonah got killed. Now, I've heard this back in that church, you know, where they know up from A to Z or anything else about the Bible. They told me that Jonah could be in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights without dying. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says he's dead. He threw him in the ocean and killed him. God killed him. We're going to see a little bit more about that. Why Mon? Hadabar. Dog. Gedol. Livloah. Get. Yonah. Raihi. Yonah. Bene. Hadak. Shilosha. Yamin. Yushilosha. Lilo. Any of that sound familiar?
Dog.
Dog. Dog. All right. One and two in verse 1 in the book of Jonah. Jonah 2 and verse 1. And now appointed, ordained, predestined. Third person masculine senior. PL. PL still means what? With great force. God elected. Hadabar elected dog. This word dog here. Dog means what? What does dog mean?
Sushi.
It's nothing. What dog, baby?
Fish.
What do you say, sushi?
Sushi.
What?
Like a Japanese meal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's, well, chow. All right. This dog. This fish, it means big fins. That's what it means. Lots of fins. Now, this fish may not have been just a fish. It probably wasn't a whale at all. I mean, a lot of people say the whale swallowed Jonah and all this kind of stuff. You know, well, that's tradition. Tradition is right out of hell most of the time. That's where tradition comes from, even Baptist tradition. All right. And now appointed, ordained, predestined Jehovah, a big fin. Maybe a leviathan. A big dragon. The big swimming dragon of the sea. Okay, the one that causes the great storm. A fish great. Gadol. Livloah. To swallow down. Cal infinitive construct. To swallow down Jonah. And he became Jonah. In the stomach, hot dog of the fish. 3 days. Shilosha v'yamim. 3 days. And three nights. What was the only sign that Jesus gave to the Pharisees?
This year. Jonah.
Huh?
This year.
The sign of Jonah. As Jonah was dead in the belly of the fish, Jonah's body was dead in the belly of that fish, but where was Jonah? Where was Jonah? Where did his existence, where was he conscious? You don't die, when you die, you don't become soul sleepers or unconscious. Where was he? In Sheol. The Bible's going to tell us that in just a minute. Okay. 2 and verse 2. Vayet Panel Jonah El Hadabar Eloha Mimi Ha Dagah. And Jonah prayed unto Jehovah, his God. Now, where's Jonah's body? In the fish. From the stomach of the big fins, this big Leviathan. Wyomer, Garati, Mitzarah, Le, El Havar, Wayaha Ninu, Mebeten, Sheol, Siwati, Shamata, Goli. And he said and kept on saying, I have cried out from distress to this distress to me, unto Jehovah. And he answered me from the depths. From the depths. Look at that word, the depths. From the depths of Sheol. From the cavity, from the abyss of Sheol. That's where he was. His spirit, his soul were in Sheol. Okay. And I had cried. First person contrast saying the PL perfect. He did a lot of crying. Loud crying now. Jonah's dead. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. And he's crying from Sheol. Now he's going to say, Lord, I will go ahead and do what you wanted me to do. You know, go ahead. I cried for help. And you have heard me. You have heard my voice. 2 and verse 4 now. With Tosh, Nikini, Mitsula, Delabav, Yamim, Winahar, Yesobebini, Kala, Mishbarika, Wigalika, Kale, Avaru. Oh, yes. You're what? I missed number 3. Damn it, I turned. Thank you, brother. I got to go back because I turned 2 pages instead of 1. Thank you, Brother Roger. Watch me, people. I need a watcher. Okay, Wyomer. Garati. Mitzara. Lee. El Hadavar. Wayar. Wayamini. Mebetin. Sheol. Sawati. Shamati. Galilee. Okay? And he said, I cried out from distress to the distress to me unto Jehovah, and he answered me from the stomach of Sheol, and I had cried for help, and you had heard my voice. By the way, in the English translation, it's not like Hebrew. The chapter, the 2 and 1 is in chapter 1. And we're already in chapter 2. Okay? It's whoever did the verses and the Old and New Testament didn't quite do it inspiringly. Matter of fact, there really aren't verses or anything in those chapters. It's just there. Okay? The verses aren't inspired. Now let's go back to 2:4. For you through me, second person master singing FL, wow, consecutive and perfect, suffix first person construct singular, you through me, who did? Jehovah threw him in the ocean. He had it done. Okay? Into the depths. Alright? Into the depths. Mitsulah. Into the depths. Into the heart. Belvav. Into the heart of the waters. And the currents kept on surrounding me. Third person master singular, Poel. Imperfect. Suffix first person construct singular. All your breakers and your waves over me, they had passed. 2 and verse 5 now. Guyani. Amarti. Nigrashti. Menneged. Enika. Ah. Oseth. Li Habit. El Hikal. Gadishika. And I, we on E, and I, we on the front of that is conjunct, and I is a first person pronoun. Okay? I have said, first person construct, singular, perfect. I have been driven from before or in front of your eyes. Only I shall keep on adding again. Look at that word Yosef there, Yosef. What does Yosef mean? That what name from Joseph? What's the name Joseph? Joseph? Joseph in the Bible? That means to add or to increase. Here's where the word Joseph comes from right here. First person contract senior if fail and perfect. I shall keep on adding to look or to regard unto the temple your holy. Holy Jews always think about the temple instead of God himself. Don't they? They want to go to church house. not to the inner sanctum of God's Spirit, which is everywhere, everywhere. Okay. 2 and verse 6. Apha Fini. Mayim Bod Nefesh. Tihon. Yisobibini. Suf. Chabush. Liroshi. They have surrounded or encompassed me. Third person construct, plural, cow, perfect. Waters. Waters have surrounded me. Odd. This is 7:23 to 24, this little odd. This ayin and dalit. Unto my soul. In other words, I'm drowned. Jehovah drowned Jonah. He's drowned. He said, the water surrounded me unto my soul until I was dead. Okay. In the depths. Home. And he keeps on surrounding me, the reeds, the seaweed. This word sufer is reeds. Okay. A plant. Having been bound around my head, all these seaweed and everything, I got swallowed, I got drowned, I was drowned and I was swallowed, I was ate by a great big old dragon or what something. Because they didn't listen. We had a couple of people in the New Testament, they were church members of the church at Jerusalem, and God killed them. Sitting off, what was their name?
Ananias
and Sapphira. God killed them. We got a prophet in the Old Testament that God killed him. Killed him. Ananias and Sapphira, they carried them out of church. Job's going to carry him back to church. He still wasn't finished with Jonah. What he was elected to do, he's going to do. Period. That's it. Niketzivi. Harim. Yaradi. Haris. Berihiha. Baadi. Liolam. Watal. Mishshachat. Haye. Hadavar. Elohim. To the extremity. To the foot. To the base of the mountains. Harim. What is the word for mountain? Harim. To the base of the Harim. Harim. You roll that R if you want to, that rest. Harim. Alright? To the base of the mountains. Yaradati. The base of the mountains is out there in the middle of the ocean someplace, isn't it? You have mountains and you have islands, and down at the foot of that, around the base of that, you have deep ocean. I hear that we have the Pacific up there by Northern California. You have that real deep trench up there, very deep, miles deep, all right, at the foot of those mountains. The world is made out of mountains and valleys, and there's water in between them. Okay? Yaradati. And I have come down, first person construct, singular, cow perfect, I have come down to the earth with her bars, varihita, with her bars, and unto, to forever. Li olam. Olam means what? Olam. Olam means what? Eternity. Jonah passed from space and time right over yonder into eternity. Olam, that's eternity. He's dead. How many times do you have to say he's dead before these people? Of course, they probably never did read the book. That's the problem. They didn't read the instruction manual. He's dead. He's in eternity. All right? Unto eternity you have brought up from Sheol my life, O Jehovah my God. 2 and verse 8.
Verse 7.
What?
That's 2 and verse 7.
That was 2 and verse 7.
No.
It's different in your Bible.
Yeah, it's the number.
Okay, the chapters and verses are different in Hebrew. Okay. Chapters and verses are different in Hebrew. V-hit-ta-hat. Halei. Nafishti. Het. Hadavar. Zakariti. Watavo. Ilika. Tasilati. El. Hikal. Gachika. And into faint upon my soul, Jehovah. When my soul fainted, guess what? I remembered Jehovah. I remembered my edict. I remembered the plan of God, God's eternal purpose that I was supposed to go preach to Nineveh. And she came to you, my prayer, unto the temple of your holy, your separateness. Cindy, could you bring up that Amplified Bible and read from the 2 and verse 1 to where we are right now, please? If that's all right.
Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly, and said, I cried out in my distress to the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your presence and your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the extinction of life. The abyss surrounded me, the seaweed was wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms and the very roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit and corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted upon me, crushing me, I earnestly and seriously remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple.
Thank you, Cindy. Now guess what? He's going to be revived. He's going to be sent back to do his job. He finally gives up and says, Lord, I'm sorry. I know you've killed me. I deserve killing. Now go ahead and send me back. I'm going to go ahead and do what you wanted me to do. But he still is not willing. I want you to know, he's still not willing. Shadow gods. Shadow gods. Gods of vapor. That's 2 and verse 9. Mishamarim. Havli. Shah. Hastam. Ya'azobal. Zobu, that is. Okay, one's honoring, paying heed, masculine plural, PL participle. They keep on paying heed, a vapor of emptiness, idolatry, of goodness. They keep on leaving loose or forsaking. Shadow gods. Shadow gods. People keep on worshiping shadow gods. Weani, you know, Vigo, that is. Toda, Toda. Ez Bita, Lok, Asher, Nadarti, Ashalima, Yeshua Tham, Ta'la, Hadabar. We ani, or wani, and I in a voice. In a voice I call. That, by the way, the word be called there, the word call, that's Aramaic again. That's a root of Aramaic. And it means to make supplication of thanksgiving. I shall slaughter. All right? Look at that word. I shall slaughter. I shall make a sacrifice. First person construct singer, Cal, cohortive in me. Cohortive. It's cohortive. That's the personal volition. He has decided now. That from his own volition that he's going to do something. To you, I shall slaughter to you, I shall sacrifice to you that which I have vowed. First person construct singular, Cal perfect. And I shall fulfill for myself, first person construct singular, PL cohortive. Keep looking at this volitational form of this verb. Yeshua. Yeshuatha. Yeshuatha. What word comes from that? Yeshuatha.
Is it Yeshua, Jesus?
Huh?
Is it Jesus?
Jesus, or Joshua. Joshua means, or Jesus means, Jehovah saves. because in the person of Jesus, Jehovah would save mankind. I, salvation, deliverance to Jehovah. Go to verse 11. Going a little bit longer. Wayomer, Hadavar, Ladog, Wayaki, Yonah, El Hayabasha. And he spoke, Jehovah, to the fish, and he vomited at Jonah unto the dry land. Now let's just take a look at this situation. Okay, for a minute. Now, God's going to speak to the dog, to the great Leviathan. Now, let me erase some of this stuff up here. Now, this isn't going to look very good because I'm not a very good artist anyway. Here the earth like that, okay? Now, here is Europe. Doesn't look like Europe, I know. Okay, and here's the Mediterranean. Alright, here's Africa over here, like this. And here's Israel, right, in the Mediterranean. Here's Palestine. Now, right out yonder, somewhere out here, is this fish in the boat. Everything took place right here. Now, where is Nineveh?
It's
way up yonder. Okay, on the shore of the Tigris River. Now here we are here with a fish. Now how did this fish get here? He had to swim all the way around the African continent, come up here in the Indian Ocean and go back up this way. Up the Fertile Crescent. With the Tigris and the Euphrates dump. Okay, the Persian Gulf. Okay, he had to swim all the way around this, which is very possible. He was in the fish's belly. The fish was probably swimming its fins off, moving on all the time. Yep. That was what happened. Or, God could make that fish fly from here to here. Didn't make any difference. God could do both things. There's no problem. But this is a lot of miles, people.
Well, God doesn't have to make the fish fly. God can just make that fish be here and then there.
Well,
he has the power to do it.
If it was really a Leviathan, a fire-breathing dragon, all the fire-breathing dragons that you see in the Chinese stuff and everything, we'll talk about this, they have, and this is big fins, big wings. Fins are wings. He can make that fish fly. There's no problem with that. He can make that fish swim all the way around up here to the polar region. Persian Gulf. No problem whatsoever. Whatsoever. No problem. God can do it. It's not God is the God of miracles, okay? And he spoke Jehovah God unto the fish, and he vomited Jonah unto dry land, and that dry land was on the seashore of Nineveh. Or the shore, not the seashore, but the shores of the Tigris River by Nineveh. And what does Nineveh mean? House of the fish god. So the fish god comes, which is a giant fish, or a Leviathan. This giant thing. This spits him out. He spits him out there, and when he spits him out, he's alive, and he was dead before. But his soul was not unconscious, was it? His soul was never unconscious, period. Alright, we'll quit right there at the end of chapter 2, and we'll start into chapter 3 next week, but if you're... We started out 2 and 11. Now, do you have any questions? Any questions? Not any questions anymore about anything? Yes.
You said that Nineveh it was the house of fish?
The house of the dwelling of the fish god.
Did they worship the fish god?
Yeah, they did. They worshiped the fish.
By chance, did they see Jonah
spit out
by this fish?
That, many people believe that, yes. And so here they see their god spitting out Jonah, but God's going to preach them a different god. Now the people that were in the boat, they had different gods when Jonah came upon them, didn't they? But they only had one god when he left. Okay? God is doing a tremendous evangelical work through Jonah, even though Jonah is definitely not cooperative. Nowhere along the line is being cooperative. God did quite a job on through Abraham, even though Abraham was an ungodly buzzard. Simple as that. Okay? Yitzchak did the same thing. Yitzchak. Isaac. Yitzchak. That's his name. Yitzchak. What does his name mean? What does Yitzchak mean? Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Kiss, sexual contact, smiling, laughing. That's what Yitzchak means. Okay? Now, anyway, when Yitzchak did the same thing to what Abimelech's people, now Abimelech and his father, king, there were probably many of them. That was the name of their king, Abimelech, father of the king. When he went down there, he did the same thing. He sold his wife, Rebecca, to Abimelech. And then he's out there in the court making love to her. And Abimelech sees it, and he said, "You, that is not your sister." He used the word Yitzchak. Even making love to her. Okay. And caressing her in sexual embrace. So that's not his sister. Okay. And he again was approached by God, said, "I'll kill you. You know, you can listen to me or whatever." And he's a prophet of God. He's an ungodly buzzard, but he's a prophet of God. Now we have this ungodly prophet Jonah, the rebellious prophet that God's going to use greatly, and he already has used greatly. How much value does God place upon one soul? Enough to die for them. Enough for God to become flesh and go across the Calvary and die and suffer the torments of that death. Okay? Any other questions? Any questions? Young lady, you got a question? Good seeing the class tonight. Brother or Steve, you got a question?
Well, you know, I have quite a few of them here, but I'll spare everybody. You know, so he's dead in the fish.
He's dead in the fish.
But yet he's unconscious. He's able with his soul and spirit to confess where he's at.
He knows where he is.
And that his wrongs.
He's
and,
wrong.
One of the things that's interesting is that he understands that there's bars, in other words, there's
you can't go back.
There's something holding.
Remember in Luke the 16th chapter, we can't go from here to there.
There's something holding him there.
That's right. He's in eternity, and he's not in space and time any longer.
Right. And that that hell is below us, the dead are below us, crying out below where we're standing right here, and he's reaching to God and saying, "If you will just spare me one time," you know, and God knows he's not telling the truth.
Jonah never is a willing prophet. He never will be. He's a rebellious person. Jonah is rebellious. He's very prideful. He's very prejudiced to the extreme. Everybody. Jonah is a rat. But God's using the rat. Hasn't he used you? How he uses all of us rats, all of us Adamic people. Alright? Any other questions? Chris?
No, he's not. He's in Sheol, which is
the place of departed spirits. Just like Luke, the 16th chapter. Here we have two people in the Bible that are in hell talking. Sheol. Sheol and Hades are the same place. This is eternal hell fire. Sheol is a great cavity before Christ died. That's not the right one. There was a great cavity called Sheol. One half of it is all called Sheol or Hades. Sheol and Hades in the same place. One half of it is paradise, and one half of it is a place of torment. Okay? The place of suffering and torment. Over here, there are lost people. We have a lost man begging and crying to God to send somebody back from hell. He didn't ask him to send him. He said, "Send somebody back from Sheol that can go back and tell my five brothers. I love them." That's what I call the love letter from hell. Luke 16 chapter. He said, "Go back now." He felt He saw, he remembered everything. This man was talking to Abraham. Okay? And he's begging Abraham, send somebody back. But he said there's bars between us and there. That's the bars we see in the book of Jonah. Same thing. We have a biblical principle set down, and it's rippling all the way through the Bible. Ripples all the way into Luke the 16th chapter. Okay? It's rippled all the way across. We're going to see a lot of things from the Jonah that we see in Luke the 16th chapter. Now, God did not send anybody back at that moment from hell, did he? But who did go back from Sheol in Jesus' time? Tell me some people that went back. How many people did Jesus raise from the dead? Huh? Had Lazarus, for sure, that had been dead for 3 days? 3 whole days? All right, 3 whole days? Been dead for 3 whole days, and he sent him back. These people went back, and what did the Jews want to do to Lazarus? What does the name Lazarus mean? What does the name Lazarus mean? Lazarus. It comes from Eleazar in the Old Testament. Eleazar means what? It means God helps, or God is my helper. Lazarus means helpless. Okay? What did they want to do? What did the Pharisees want to do to Lazarus? They wanted to murder him because he was evidence against them. He raised the widow's son. He said, Talitha Kumei in Aramaic, made arise. Okay? So we have 3 people there at least that he raised from the dead. So 3 people did go back. And did they hear? Many did not hear because they don't want to. Volition is involved. Okay? After Jesus died, he went down to paradise, didn't he? And he preached to all these people. And there's people there that went here that were on the outside of the ark over there. The rebellious ones that rebelled in the days of Noah, that nobody got in the ark and God shut the door like the rapture. And so they got to die in the tribulation period outside the judgment, outside of the ark. But they believed when it started, all the resources of water started, some of them believed, and it said that he preached to them too. And he also preached to all those others that were there and said, I have overcome, I died for your sins, now it's efficacious. And then he raised for our justification. Dikaiosine. That word symbolizes. Justification. Alright. So he took all of these with him to heaven. And now there is Sheol, Hades, that only has the place, that only is the place of torment. Otherwise they didn't go to heaven. When you get to die, you get to go to heaven. Go up to the throne of God. Any other questions?
So Jonah was not on the side of paradise.
He was in paradise, yes.
Oh, he was on the side.
He was a saved man. Oh, he was just ungodly.
Yeah.
He was saved, but he was ungodly. Lord, he didn't say give me another chance, did he? He just said send me back and I'm going to do what you want me to do. Yes, young lady.
You mentioned earlier on the gates of Hades.
What?
You mentioned earlier on, quite a bit earlier, the gates of Hades, I believe.
The Jews believed that the Sea of Galilee was like 600 feet deep, and at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee was the gates of the infernal regions. And they believed that great Leviathan that stirred the waters out there in those great storms, that was the gates of hell, that he was the guardian to the gates of hell.
If you look, there is a place, though, that does say gates of hell in Israel.
Yeah.
There's a place. Is that related to that or not?
It may be. I don't know. I can't remember.
It's close to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Well, the Garden of Gethsemane?
Yes, very close to it.
Okay, well, the ancient Jewish idea of the gates of hell was at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. And when the pigs, remember the 2,000 flies jumped in there? You know, the demon spirits, the fallen spirits, they went into those pigs, they went in there, and they went into the regions of hell, according to the Jews. Christine?
Is this where Catholicism gets purgatory?
Catholicism invented purgatory, period.
Yeah.
That made a lot of money. That's a money-making situation.
Yeah, but do they use this outline
this place
as their...
This place is not final hell.
Huh?
This place is not final hell.
Right.
But hell is a place of... It is a place of variable torments. Some places are more tolerable than other places, and we could go into that. But matter of fact, I did. If you go on to sermon audio or whatever, go to the doctrines of the Bible and go to the doctrine of hell, and we'll and you can. I can do that later. Yes.
Well, I thought the Old Testament, didn't the Jews, they kind of invented purgatory too, didn't they, to some degree, or some of them?
Well, the Talmud was their God. It was more important to them, their tradition. You know, you had the Babylonian Talmud, which is the oldest Talmud that they have. That's the one they were talking about back then, not the Jerusalem Talmud. That was written much later. The Babylonian Talmud was written in Aramaic, or but in Arabic to begin with. They spoke Arabic. The Jews lost their language for many, many years. Later on, they recovered it. Later on, they began doing the writings and translating back into Hebrew. But that Babylonian Talmud was way, way back. They even spoke French. They spoke Arabic. They spoke all of the different languages of the people where they were, but they kept the little traditions and their celebrations and their feasts in their own language, even though they what they were saying so many, many times. What? Did I ask your question at all? Yes,
well,
that's Stephen.
Go ahead.
What she's referenced here is Matthew 16:18. I say to you, unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So she's talking about a place where they were at. There are some caves that someone believed. Is that what you're thinking of?
Well, the gates of hell. First of all, Matthew 16:18. You're Peter, but upon this rock, you're Peter Petros, a little stone, but upon this gigantic rock, I shall be building my church, and he was already called the church out. Your church was in existence at that moment. He had called it out, the word ecclesia means once called, I started calling it out of Galilee. And the gates of hell means Satan would try to stop it. Satan tried to destroy the church, but this church went all the way down to the Dark Ages, and spilling its blood all the way. And of course, Catholicism got involved, and Catholicism was a daughter of Satan. The Catholicism became the gates of hell.
Well, that's where she's that's where the mix-up comes.
I've heard that.
When you get to the Latin, it talks about that they believed that the gates of hell was a cave, and that he had the key to the gates of the garden.
Okay, now, Matthew 18 chapter says, and he gives the keys of the kingdom, not to Peter, but to the church. The keys of the kingdom. The administration of the kingdom of God is in the church's hands today. The church is the administrator of the kingdom, not Israel. The Lord took the keys of the kingdom away from Israel and gave it to the church in his ministry. When he went into Jerusalem on his triumphant entry, he had set aside Israel's administration. They were no longer bona fide administrators of God's kingdom. The king had come on the scene. He was the king. Not them anymore. He was the king of Israel. He was the administrator. He cleansed the temple and everything else. He declared his sovereignty. And they wanted to try to murder him at that spot. They said, look, they're saying you're Jehovah. You come in and enter. But and according to the book of Daniel, it says exactly the day that he would ride into Jerusalem on that white donkey. The very day was prophesied that he would ride into Jerusalem. And he did. And at one time they said, these people are crying out, Jehovah, praise Jehovah, and you're sitting here and taking that praise. He said, if I told them to shut up, the rocks would cry out. Of course, you see. All right, anything else? No? Montana? Sharon?
Well, I guess this whole thing, I'm thinking, we're talking about the total sovereignty of God. If God says you're going to go do something, you're going to go do something, even if you're dead, you're going to go come back.
That's right.
I mean, God says you're going to do it. It's done. Death is no excuse.
No. The calling and election of God are irrevocable. I said last week, one time I was a great teacher, a great teaching and everything else. I got hurt really bad in church, and I took off. I went to Nevada. I was a missionary. I was a teacher. I taught on the radio and everything else, but I was supposed to be in the pulpit. God hadn't recalled me. I had a lot of trouble. And you know what? When you put yourself in churches, you can be hurt. You put yourself in the hands of people where you can hurt. I didn't want to be hurt anymore. didn't want any more of them. I went up there, and I got married to a woman that was right out of hell. It was the devil's sister. And I mean, I thought I was. I mean, she was bad news. And I had to go back to church to get some solace from people. And boy, it was a problem. I went back in there, and it was the same problem as it always was. I had people tearing me up and everything else, but you know what? When I surrendered back and got back in that pulpit, I knew I was where I was supposed to be, no matter what happens. Period. Because I was flying. I knew that's what I was supposed to be doing. And boy, it is so good when you know you're right in the middle of the center of God's will, and you're in the center of His will right now. Where you are is where He wants you right now. And I surrendered back to God. I gave my life back to God. I said, here I am, come what may. I don't care how many times I get hurt, I'm just going to be there. And here I am. Irrevocable. The calling of God is irrevocable. Period. And it's not easy. It's not easy. You've seen me through 20 years of it, Stephen. You've seen me
more
go through some rough stuff.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, more than that, probably 40.
Five.
All the way from the oil fields to here. You know, we not only...
But your heart for the Lord didn't change. That's one good thing.
Lord doesn't change. We may change our mind, but He doesn't change His mind. Jonah did not want to do that. I loved preaching. I was scared to death. You know, when I would preach, I would get up and preach a message and sit down and shut up, and nobody could pry a word out of me. I was so quiet. I would not talk to anybody. I had my lesson. I knew what I was doing, but personally, I was very backward. Now, you don't know that today, see. You can't see that. It took God a lot of training to get me where I am today. When I got my ham radio license the first time, for the first 10 years, I never said one word on the radio. People don't believe that today. They do not believe that. That 1960. And so, about 1975 or 72, somewhere around there, I never said one word.
What did you do?
Nothing. I just had radios. I loved working on them. I wouldn't even work CW anything. Nothing. I didn't say a word. But then God works you over. Everything that happens to you has a purpose. Everything that happens to you is for a purpose. God uses it. For God is able to cause all things to work for the good of them that are called according to His purpose. You haven't done anything in your life that God didn't allow to happen. No matter how bad or good it was, God allowed it to happen to train you. Talking to a doctor today, he got hurt very badly, almost died. He said it was the worst pain I ever experienced, but he said, I can understand people's pain now. I said, it was good for you. It was good for you. I mean, that's awful hard to say. The man was tremendously hurt and burned terribly bad. But it was good for him, because now he can share people's pain, because he knows what it is to be painful. When you've been broke to pieces and you've been blasphemed and cut to pieces, you can maybe understand what happened to Jesus just a little bit. You can share that with Him. When people have turned their back on you, stabbed you in the back and cut your throat and all this kind of stuff, you can understand what it means to be betrayed. That's betrayal. You know, He understood the betrayal. Any other questions?
Pastor Jim, you know, this group here is not able, maybe they are, to comprehend the importance of a little ham radio in our day of satellites and phones. But I can tell you that there's places in this world where you get in countries, and the countries jam frequencies of every type. But the ham radio can skip at two times. That's when the sun's coming up. And as the sun's going down, the ham radio can actually skip between those frequencies for almost about 5 minutes. So by 10 minutes a day, people around the world are getting a touch of freedom. And I remember a time in my life that I was sitting there huddled with a bunch of expats listening to that little bit of freedom that I knew.
Well, that's important. When I got on the radio and started teaching, people to get me to talk on the radio, they had to ask me a question, because I wouldn't say anything. I key up the microphone and not one word would come out. I couldn't do it. But when they asked me a question, I could answer the question. So they started asking me Bible questions on the radio. So I started telling them. All the websites, discoverword.com, discoverword.com, sermon audios, ham.com/DTW all came from ham radio. That's how it got started. One student says, I want to put a website up and I want to print your material and make it available for everybody. You're one of the greatest teachers in the world. People need to hear you. So that's how this started. That's where it all came from. It was off of that ham radio and me answering questions out there from the reluctant speaker that wouldn't talk. All right. You ready to go off and do something eternal? I don't want to cut you short. I think we're at the end of all the recording. That one's finished. I don't know whether this one's at the end or not. No, it's still got a little more time. But anyway, that one will go out. That one there is done. It's finished at 80 minutes. All right. Well, if nothing else, let's have a word of prayer. We'll send you out on your way. All right. Brother, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer?
Oh, sure.
Right up here. Okay.
Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, and hearing your word is the wisdom of your word just delights our hearts, and we just thank you so much for being here and being here to teach a class and just to have a place where we can come to and listen to your word. Just thank you so much. We pray that we grow with what we've heard and are able to tell others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Bye.